One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
This is one of the most unusual experiences of my life, because I never go to one church this many times. But the simple message, mixed with what I believe is sincerity and a desire, and at least I believe it, has given me many opportunities. But I come here for a number of reasons. I come here because when I come, you come. I do not believe in wasting time around the house of God.
Amen. Amen.
And I tell people everywhere I go, when you quit coming, I will too. I wouldn't have time to waste on these pretty pews, because you never get one of them saved.
That's right. That's right.
And I've never seen one of these chairs walk out and bring a soul to Jesus. And I'm not interested in preaching to these chairs. I'm interested in preaching to you.
Amen.
And so I come because you come. I come in the second place because of the good warm fellowship we have with preachers. And incidentally, this message is shared with our radio friends on some stations. I mean, pastors come to this meeting. It enlarges my opportunity because I want to do two things. Number one, I want to strengthen the faith of the believers and get us ready for the end time stand. And so the preachers will come. Your homes are open to the preachers, and they do not have to go to motels, but can stay in your home. And your fellowship and your cordiality has been a blessing and a challenge and a real encouragement to a lot of preachers that come from many miles. And I come because of the enlarged opportunity. This is not a local Bible conference. Everybody in the city nearly knows about it. Many of the preachers in the city have come. I just thought, I came in and we closed in Orlando, and then the Lord was kind enough to blow us up a good tailwind, and we made it in real quick, and today the Lord turned the wind around and we came back together. And so I thought it was awful nice of him. Fact is, I've been preaching a lot of time when I said, Lord, I wish you'd blow me up a tailwind. I mean, I've had a hard time, you know, sometimes, but I hope tonight that the people will furnish a good spiritual tailwind for me as a priest. Don't be hard to get along with now. Open your heart, get your heart pulverized, and don't act like you know everything, because you don't.
Amen.
And you sure don't have everything, because you couldn't hold it. And so I want you to just to be a little child before the Lord tonight to listen to the message. But it's a joy to be here, and I want to speak tonight on a very precious subject. I appreciate so much. Of course, one of the reasons I'm back is that Brother permits me to sing. Some preachers have drawn the line on that part of my ministry. I don't know exactly what Brother meant when, a while ago, he said, I insist. I don't know what he was insisting on. I'd like for him to clear that up for me. If it's insist that I sing, I will. If it's he insists that I will not sing, I'll sing anyhow. Because I believe the Christian need not sing for people, but sing for the Lord.
Amen.
It's time for the message. I'd like to speak on something that came to me last night. I read through a portion of the book of Genesis. I came to the chapters that suggested the subject, the trip everybody needs to take, and most people never make it. There is a trip. It's a rewarding trip. It's a trip that ought not to be necessary, but it is. And yet, It's a hard thing to get people to make this journey. Tonight, I want to speak to you about a man that went away from God and he made it back. Amen. Most people never make it back.
That's right.
They die in a strange country. It seems that the distance is longer back than away. It seems that the road or the hills are steeper coming back. But I'll assure you of one thing. It's worth every drop of sweat and every penitent tear that ever courses down your penitent cheeks to get back to God.
Amen.
If you've gone away. I've never seen as many people fall. I'm not talking about mesquite limbs and small bushes. I'm talking about some of the giants of other days have fallen, have surrendered their armor, have gone into the chains and shackles of the world, have lost their voice and their testimony for God. I want to show you some things tonight in the scripture as they came to me. And we'll begin reading in the book of Genesis, chapter 31. 31. I'll not take time to announce some of the things that I think I shall preach on. But some interesting subjects have come to me that I trust the Lord will vitalize and get ready in my soul to deliver to you. In Genesis, chapter 31, there are some people involved. One thing I like about the Bible, it talks a heap about people. It records the experiences, sad and bad and good and indifferent about people. And always tells the truth about
them. Amen.
There are a lot of places in the Bible I'd have probably left out or been awful silent or treaded mighty softly on, but God didn't. He got ready to talk about his sweet singer. He said he went into terrible sin. Wound up with a broken heart. Confessed and repented, and God said, now then, get over to your song sheet and start writing. I said to the career and college group, it was a very refreshing group. One of the greatest challenges of my life is to speak to students like those.
Amen.
I gave them actual experiences that we're having all the time because we work with nothing but people in trouble. Convicts and people that come in on LSD and dope and every kind, alcoholics, dope addicts in the city and so forth. And yet, all of them can have every need met in Christ.
Amen.
None too far gone if you capture their attention and they'll let Christ come in, as Brother sang about in the song. Amen. Let Jesus come in. And he heard the words, notice, Jacob is the man we're going to talk about. He heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob hath taken away all that our fathers was our fathers, and of that which was our fathers hath he gotten all this glory. Jacob's robbed our old daddy. We don't like it a bit. You know, when a man gets away from God, he has trouble a brewing, doesn't he? Jacob's been gone 40 years now away from Bethel, where he seemed to have met the Lord. Now, he's met his match in Laban. You remember Laban is the brother of Rebekah. And when Eliezer got the commission from Abraham to go get his son a wife, he went up to the home of Laban. And Laban came out, and if you'll note, one of the things that impressed Laban was the 10 camels, which represented 10 Cadillacs or Lincoln Continentals. I mean, Laban said, say, let me take care of these camels for you. He wasn't too interested in Rebekah and Isaac getting married or the Eliezer call or anything else, but he sure did love those camels. Laban was a skin flint and a money grabber. And it didn't make any difference how he got it. He'll pay the price for it's over, and I'll show you tonight where he paid it.
Right.
You never let the malignant cancer of selfishness and money grabbing get a hold of you, but what you pay the price.
Amen.
The Bible said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, thieves break through and steal. He said, lay them up in heaven.
Amen.
He said, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some having coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The average man pays a mighty price to become a millionaire. And so, now then, Jacob has been there about 20 years. You know what happened. He fell in love with Rachel. And then it came time, because he talked to Laban. And Laban said, well, you wouldn't expect to get my girl for nothing, would you? And he said, no, I'm willing to work. Said, what's? So he said, 7 years. 7 years, because God put it in the book, said it seemed to him but for a few days because he loved her. Love's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And so he came up to the marriage time, and when the veil was removed from his wife, he got Leah instead of Rachel. You know the story. I imagine Jacob could have said, well, that's what I get. I cheated my brother, Esau. Got his birthright and got the final blessing and had to run from him because he's about to kill me. Now that I meet a man by the name of Laban, he cheated me. But he went to Laban, he said, I still want Rachel. Well, he said, I didn't tell you couldn't have her, but you know the oldest one goes first. I thought you had sense enough to know that. Well, he said, now tell me, I'm ready to go to work again. Well, he said, 7 more years. And Jacob stayed right there. Well, he got Rachel. Now then, God blessed Laban because of Jacob, who was there with him. There came a time when Jacob had begun to accumulate, and I don't understand. I mean, I don't think there's any veterinarian or any cattleman that can explain exactly how everything turned out to be Jacob's. I mean, if it was speckled, I mean, it was Jacob's, and they fixed it where it couldn't be speckled, but he's speckled anyhow. Old Laban said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll go out there and give you that bunch of solid colors there. If it happened to be ring straight, you can have them. And man, everything's ring straight. Man, he had striped, I guess that's Holsteins, I don't know. But I mean, he had everything. And everything that looked like happened was on Jacob's side. God just blessed him. Amen. Now then, brother, when you begin to get a man's property, you begin to lose a man's friendship ordinarily. And so the big old boys out there, Laban's boys out there talking one day, and Jacob kindly tuned in. And Jacob said, now I know the war's coming. And those boys said, you know, that's our Jake. He came up here, he's stolen everything our daddy's got. I mean, nearly every cow out there is his. I mean, he's got the sheep and the goats, and I want you to know he's got some more herd. And Jacob said, I feel like going back to Bethel. You know, the thing really that drives more people back to Bethel is just plain trouble. Mm-hmm. None of us like it, but that'll just do it better than anything I know of and quicker. Right. I mean, prosperity never did help anybody get back to Bethel. I want to preach on how can you do in the valley. You know, one day that bunch over there said, well, their gods are gods of the hills. If we could get them down the valley, we'd tear them up. And brother, God just fixed it where the battle was pitched in the valley. And 100,000 people got killed just like that. And the walls fell on about 40,000. Our God's the God of the valley too.
Amen.
Jacob's in trouble now. Murder, absolutely. Murder's being plotted. But remember, he made a little bargain with the Lord. I'm not too much on this bargain making with God. Now, we forget going to see a fellow in the hospital in Houston, Herman Hospital. The lady said, he's dying. Brother Wolof, we should go see him. And I don't know, I got the idea, you know, that he wasn't saved. And so I went in there, and so I made a little bargain with him. I thought I did. I said, now look here. I said, I'm here to talk with you, and I want you to get well and believe the Lord's able to heal you. And I said, I just want to ask you, if the Lord heals you, will you serve him? Boy, he didn't bat an eye. I mean, he didn't flinch that much. He looked up at me and said, I'm going to serve him if he doesn't heal me.
Amen.
He said, no turning back with me. He said, whether I live or die, I'm going to serve God.
Amen.
Remember old Sam Jones? That preacher that preached the straight. Say, he was a Methodist.
Amen.
I don't know where he'd preach if he came back now, but... He's preaching in San Antonio one time, and he said the only difference between San Antonio and hell is San Antonio has a river running through it. But dear friends, he got a call one day to visit one of his members back there when he was pastoring. The wife called, and the preacher was asked to come over by her husband. And he came in, and the man had humbled himself down. Hadn't heard him preach, hadn't heard his pastor preach in months, and he was whining and looked like he was on his deathbed. And he said, Brother Pastor, he said, will you pray for me to get well? And Brother Sam, I guess, was one of the most blunt and one of the most honest fellows you've ever seen. He said, no, I wouldn't pray for you to get well at all. He said, you really wouldn't? He said, no, sir. I mean, he said, you haven't worth a plug nickel to God. I couldn't ask God to get anybody as mean as you are well. That's a member of the church and claimed to be a Christian. Said, I wouldn't pray that away at all. Man began to weep. He began to weep and confess his sin. And he said, Brother Sam, he said, you're my pastor. And he said, I know I haven't been any good, but he said, I'll tell you what. He said, if you'll pray for me and God will heal my body, I'll give the rest of my life to him. Brother Sam said, I pray for you now. Yes, sir. Oh, I tell you, dear friends, Jacob's in trouble. And he said, we better move out. Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban. Behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with me. So he went out to talk to his wives and said, you know, your father, verse 7, your father deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me, wouldn't let him hurt me at all. Verse 13, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar and where thou vowedest to vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land and return to the land of thy kindred. Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he has sold us, hath quite devoured also our money. Leah and Rachel lost confidence in their dad because he sold them to Jacob. A man will pay a mighty price to get his money, give up his own family. He lost the confidence of his two daughters. Well, they slipped out while Laban was somewhere else. Laban overtook him. Verse 27, wherefore didst thou flee away secretly, steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp, and hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, but the God of your father spake unto me yesternight. I believe old Laban plotted his death. God came and got a hold of him and said, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now though thou wouldst needs be gone because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? I remember reading that last night and I said, thank God they can't steal mine.
Amen.
What are your gods tonight? Is it pleasure? They can steal that one. Is it money? They can get that one. Is it popularity? They'll get that one. Oh, listen, dear friends, if you have the gods of this world, you'll lose those. Laban comes now, he's in distress, his daughters are gone, and they've been kidnapped by Jacob, and the property and the horses and the cattle and the cows and the sheep and the oxen are all being driven away by Jacob and his servants and his cowboys and all of his grandchildren are moving away out of his life forever. and his gods are gone. And so he comes. Of course, Jacob said, well, we didn't get you gods. Of course, they didn't know, but Rachel did. Rachel did steal the gods. Verse 41, thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for thy cattle. Thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Now I want you to listen to Laban. Get a character sketch of him. Verse 43. Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and those children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. Sound like a little kid, didn't he? It's mine! These are my daughters, and these grandchildren are mine, and these cows are mine, and everything you can see is mine. Yeah, but you can't get it now, buddy. You've had your day, and selfishness like a malignant cancer is eating you up, and you're done for, and God won't let you kill Jacob. You can't touch him. Isn't it wonderful to have a God like that?
Amen.
But that's not the end of the story. He said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pile up a pile of stones here. Laban said, this heap, verse 48, is a witness between me and thee. This day, therefore, was the name of it called Gilead or Galead and Mizpah. For he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take otherwise beside my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee. Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, and behold this pillar which I've cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. The God of Abraham, and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us. And Jacob swear by the fear of his father Isaac, chapter 32. That's not the end of the story. Jacob is just coming up to the climax and to the crisis now. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. I believe every angel God has will help you to get back to Bethel.
Amen.
At least he's made one big hurdle. He got away from Laban, and he's on his way back to Bethel, but he's not there yet. There's going to be two more tremendous trials that he's going to face before he gets back. And the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. But in a little bit, after he'd sent out his servants and said, go look up Esau. Go see where Esau is. We got to meet him. And brother, you're going to have to meet Esau before you'll get back to Bethel. And you're going to have to get that victory over Esau. And just about everybody. Now, we've talked about putting our Isaac on the altar, but we're going to have to learn how to meet Esau, too.
We're happy that you've joined us today for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and today's sermon entitled, The Trip Everyone Needs to Take. To order this Sonic Etcetera CD, ask for offer number RO24 34. Let me repeat that again. It's RO2434, The Trip Everyone Needs to Take. Now, in writing, we'd like to have today's date, also the call letters to the radio station that you're listening to. Include $8 for the cassette, $10 for the CD. The Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403 is our address. To order by credit card, 1-800-772-7507. Our special offer for the month is a musical CD entitled Love Grew Where the Blood Fell.
Welcome home, my child. Come on in. Welcome home. He'll tell. Say I love you.
For those who love family singing, this is a must. The Lindley family give the gospel collection a special flavor, so write in for this special song selection, which varies from old-time favorites as Neither Do I Condemn Thee to Please Search the Book Again. There are 12 songs in this collection, and I know that you'll want to request those and get a CD, and you can do that by asking for RO number 8 and include $12 to help us with shipping and handling. Now, we accept credit cards, and you can use the toll-free number by dialing 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Again, the offer is Love Grew When the Blood Fell. Now, the offer number simply is RO8. Include $12 to help with shipping and handling, and write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Or if you'd like to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, hoping that you'll have a wonderful day. And we'll be looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea.